Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And I want us to turn to the fourth chapter, 1 John chapter number 4. And when you get there, just say amen. Now, we picked up a study last week dealing with the Holy Spirit, and this is, Lord willing, going to be a 3-4 volume series. And in this first volume, I'm subtitling this, the Person and the Purpose of the Holy Spirit. I feel like before we get into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need to know the person and the purpose behind the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you, last week as we began to open this topic, if you were here, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, get the MP 1, 2, 3, or 4, but get that message on 8-track or cause album, whatever you got to do, 45, 33, but get that word, because it was so intense last week that you just knew only the Holy Spirit could have unfolded the lesson, the teaching that we had last week. 1 John chapter 4, if you get there, say amen. And we're going to look at it beginning here in verse number 1. Beloved, so he's speaking to the believer. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God or of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, Antichrist here, we hear that word and we think of the enemy dressed up in a red scaly suit with a pitchfork and a tail is a devil incarnate. But Antichrist really is a pseudo-Christ, or a Christ copycat, a mimic of Christ that will come in the last days. And here, the beloved Apostle John is saying that spirit of Antichrist, that copycat spirit, that mimicking spirit of Christ, already exists. And because there is a pseudo-Christ spirit, a copycat mimicking Christ spirit, then we have to test the spirits to see whether or not they be of God. In light of what we read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for those that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment, those here in this assembly, those watching live or by television or through media. Father, I pray that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. For the sake of the recording, before the prayer, we read from 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to see this here in this first verse, and not only to see it, but I want to show you biblically how to do that. Because in 1 John 4 verse 1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Declare that out loud. Believe not every spirit. Now, we're challenged right there that just because it is spiritual doesn't mean you need to believe it. All right? Believe not every spirit. And he goes on to say, because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. And then he declared the difference between the Spirit of God and other spirits of the world in verse 2, when he said that every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then it is of God. And then he went on to share that in verse 3, any spirit that's not about confessing Jesus Christ and him having come in the flesh is not of God, and that is actually a spirit of Antichrist. Now, when you hear the word Antichrist, we got to get this Hollywood vision of the Antichrist coming on the scene in Revelation chapter 6, and we have this idea that, you know, he's the devil incarnate. Now, you know, he got fire coming out of his eyes, and he's scaly, and he's got a pitchfork, and you know, he's the devil, obviously. No, if you notice anything about the Antichrist in Revelation 6, where he first comes on the scene, he shows up riding a white horse, which is the exact same horse Jesus is riding in Revelation chapter 19. So he is an imitator. He is an imitator. The Antichrist, the pseudo-Christ, is an imitator. He's not Christ. He deceives with his Christ-likeness. Now, in the tribulation period in Revelation, it's 3.5 years into the tribulation before he really begins to unveil himself for who he is. But the lie is bought into because of his imitation of Christ. So we're challenged here, believe not every spirit. So as we get into this series that the Lord really laid on my heart, to dive into dealing with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that really got impressed on my heart was that we need to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Let's get to know him. Because see, you know, people that don't know me can misrepresent me, and people that don't know you can misrepresent you, but you can defend someone you know if you know them in the presence of someone that is misrepresenting them because they don't know them. You know, you hear what I'm saying to you. So when you know the person of the Holy Spirit, when you come to know him in his word, when you come to know him for who he is, then nobody or nothing is going to be able to misrepresent the Holy Spirit to you because you know him. And I believe we've had this idea that because the Holy Spirit is a spirit, then he's intangible and there are no definites. And so how can you say that this is the Holy Spirit or this is not the Holy Spirit? And there have been a lot of people to abuse the Holy Spirit, lie on the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit credit for things he didn't even do. Because it's likely that somebody has come into your life and said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. And you knew when you heard it that there's no way the Holy Spirit told them to tell you that. But they knew that their words didn't have enough weight by themselves to give you some kind of counsel. So they came in saying, now the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. So you got to be careful with that kind of thing. You know, even if you believe the Holy Spirit's put something on your heart, you might want to err on the side of caution and say, I feel impressed to tell you, you know, and let that person that's hearing you say, that's the Holy Spirit. That comes off a whole lot better than you saying, now you listen to what I'm saying because the Spirit told me to tell you. And then you'd be lying on the Holy Spirit because really that's just you. Now, believe it or not, church, there are a lot of individuals that have been scarred, injured, hurt inside the walls of the church because the Holy Spirit has not been accurately represented. And so the only way you're going to know that is you've got to know him for yourself. So I want us to look, and I want to show you how to do that, and we'll pick up right where we left off last week. So if you would go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. If you weren't here last week, there's no way I could review or reiterate that 50 or 60 minutes we had in God's Word last week. So go by the bookstore when you leave here and get a copy of last week's message. I want us to look in John 14 because there is a portion. Oh, man, it's going to be good up in here today. Glory. Hold my mule. Okay, here we go. Now, if you don't know what that means, that's okay. We're going to get into some deep, rich stuff here in just a minute. Hallelujah. But I do want to lay this foundation by reiterating a point that was made last week that I think we have to go back and reiterate again. John 14 begins this message of Jesus where he is letting the disciples know that he's ascending back to the Father, that he's going to be crucified, dead, buried, raised, and he's no longer going to be with them. And he's preparing them for his departure. Simultaneously, he's preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that in the next few weeks too, because, you know, we have this idea that the Holy Spirit came on this certain day, and we look back at that day that the Holy Spirit came, and we call that day that he came Pentecost. But what we don't realize is that the day of Pentecost already existed, and that was the day that God chose to send the Holy Spirit. So there was Pentecost before the Holy Spirit. The word Pentecost just means 50th, and it was the 50th day after first fruits, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. That was within the same celebration of unleavened bread when Jesus died, and Passover when Jesus was taken into custody. So all those things from the cross to the Holy Spirit coming fell on certain days of celebration that God had already had the children of Israel celebrating in the Old Testament. So even the arrival of the Holy Spirit was predestined. It was planned. It came exactly after 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus walked the earth 40 days after he was raised, went back to the Father, and 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit, all planned. And we're going to talk about that. So here Jesus in John 14 is setting the disciples up for his departure. So that's what you're seeing in verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he's letting them know in verse 2 that he's going to prepare a place for them. In verse 3, if he go to prepare a place, he will come again and receive them unto himself. So John 14 is setting them up for his departure. But notice what he does now down in verse number 16. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He shall give you another comforter. Read that out loud. He shall give you another comforter. Now, how many of you know that Jesus is a comforter? Amen. Hallelujah. And all you know what you would do with a comforter is it would give you comfort despite external circumstances. So the temperature's cold, well, you grab a comforter. Hallelujah. Amen. So the external circumstances in your environment don't have any effect on you when you've got a comforter. Hallelujah. So here Jesus is saying, I've been your comforter. I was there when that storm came and we were in that ship. Hallelujah. And so, but I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm not going to leave you without strength. So I will send you another comforter. Hallelujah, that he may abide with you forever. So unlike Jesus that came on a mission, the Allah, finished his mission, the Ta, and then went back to the Father, he's saying the Holy Spirit will be sent and he won't be retrieved. He'll be with you forever. Hallelujah. And so, verse 17, he said, even the Spirit of truth. Now, read that part out loud up to that semicolon there. Even the Spirit of truth. Now, before we go another further, and yes, that's good English, I want you to turn over to John 17, and we'll we'll look at this, John 17, and we're going to go right back to John 14. I'm going to take my time. Let no folk rush me up in here. Got to savor these moments in his word, and all you get and get understanding. Now watch this in John 17, go down to verse 17. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to let the word define the word. So John 17, verse 17, you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, read it with me out loud. Ready? Read. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Read that last statement one more time. Thy word is truth. So what is truth? Who told you that? Jesus. All right, Jesus or the word, as long as you don't say Pastor James. But that's why I had you turn there and look at that. Thy word is truth. Say that again. Thy word is truth. And everybody doesn't know what truth is. Ask Pilate when you, if he made it on in. I mean, because Jesus told Pilate that he had told him the truth, and Pilate looked back at Jesus and said, what is truth? He didn't realize that Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. The word is the truth. Now go back to John 14, because anytime one word is defined, then you can take the definition and substitute for the word. For that word that was used. Now, one more time. What is truth? The word is truth. Okay. Now, watch this in John 17, verse 17. Notice, he said, even the spirit of truth, or I could read that, the spirit of the word. Now, somebody might say, I see that. He's changing the Bible. I have not changed the Bible. I'm trying to let you see that the Bible will teach itself. And so when you read something in the Bible, and you might not understand it, it's likely somewhere else that's explained. The Bible will teach itself. And so Jesus said that the word is truth. And here Jesus said the Holy Spirit is a spirit, is the spirit of truth, or the spirit of the word. And what I'm wanting you to see right now, it's so important that you see, is that you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from his agreement with the word, and you can't separate the word's agreement with the Holy Spirit. See, there are a lot of people that will say, well, I know what the Bible said, but I know what the Spirit told me to do. No, no, no. I had somebody tell me, with me in my face, they said, I know what the Bible says about marriage and all that, but I know the Holy Spirit married this woman I'm living with and me, and I know the Holy Spirit told me that we're married even though we've never been married, because we're married and the Spirit told me we are married. And I said, you saying you were married in the Spirit? He said, that's right. The Holy Spirit put us together, and I don't care what the Bible says. I know the Holy Spirit put us together. I can't help you no more, man. I can't help you no more. If you believe that the Holy Spirit has made you exempt of the Word of God, you don't know the Holy Spirit. But see, that's a hyper-spiritual indoctrination when people make the Holy Spirit say something that's not endorsed in the Word, or will say that the Holy Spirit is authorized to trump the Word. The Holy Spirit will never disagree with the Word, nor the Word with the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5 and 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They operate in perfect harmony. They are the perfect picture of unity. You don't separate the Spirit from the Word and Jesus. I had a member years ago, back when we was at the old location, we might have had a couple of hundred members at that time, and this family was visiting, and they said, well, we love the church, Pastor, but wanted to let you know we're leaving because we found a more spiritual church in Bossier. And I said, well, define spiritual, because I need to know what spiritual is. They said, well, it's more focused on the Holy Spirit. Your church seems to be more focused on the Word, and we need something more spiritual than the Word. And I didn't know how to argue with them. How you get more spiritual than the Word? Is the Spirit operating outside of the Word? Is the Spirit doing something different than the Word? Haven't I read in Acts 4:31 that when the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, they spake the word of God with boldness? I thought these two were operating together. I thought I was filled with the Spirit so that I could speak the word. I thought it was the Spirit that led me in the word. I didn't even know I could understand this without the Spirit. Matter of fact, I didn't know I could even be saved without the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Now, we're going to be dealing with everything I know of that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in this series that we may be in all year. But I'm saying that being funny, but maybe the truth. But the thing of it is that we got to begin with, okay, what's the foundation? The foundation is just like your relationship with God. And just like your relationship with a person, until you know them, until you know their heart, how can you know their acts? Because you can judge a man by his actions with limited insight and not know the heart behind what led to it. Even when someone is doing wrong, the book of Proverbs speaks that more compassion is given when you recognize that man stole to eat versus that man stole out of greed. And that the one you will have compassion on because he's hungry. Two acts, neither one right, but the one's judgment is different when you understand the heart of that man and what led him to that thing. We judge people all the time, and we don't even know the heart behind what really went on right there. We just judge something by what we see. And what I want you to do is to be able to get into the Word and know God, know Jesus, know His Spirit intimately, whereas in the past, we've sought the hands of God, but not the heart of God. But once you seek the heart of God, you can have anything in His hands. I've been giving our youngest Milo affection like I do all our kids forever. And man, she's our baby, our youngest, and I like to hold her and squeeze her, and I make up songs to her. I even got a song about holding and squeezing that I made up when I see her. I'm saying, you know, I break off into a little song when I see her. I say, I'm gonna hold her and squeeze her. Hold her and squeeze her. Hold her. Squeeze her. Man, she takes off running because she knows daddy gonna come hold her and squeeze her. I just can't believe I did that in front of all these folks, so make sure y'all edit that for television. Well, she likes to play the chasing game. Well, here lately, she's gotten real affectionate. Real affectionate. So, man, she wants to me to hug her, and they'd be leaving for school. Daddy give me a hug, another hug, another hug. I'm like, all the hugs you want, I got. And man, she got so affectionate. Daddy, give me a hug. Then yesterday, she come in there, and she said, Daddy, she had a little doll. They had these little clothes. That, not about this big. I ain't kidding. And it's got clothes that you take off and change the clothes. And they're like made out of rubber or something, these little clothes, these little dresses. And she couldn't get her dress on Cinderella. And so she brought the little thing about this big and said, Daddy, would you put her dress on? And I'm like, ooh, Jesus. And I'm doing all I can without breaking Silverano's arm off, because I figured out. I thought for a second, I said, if I tore her arm off, I could probably stick it through this dress and pop her arm back on. And I'd get this thing on real quick. But she's sitting there staring the whole time. I'm like, no, I can't break Silverano's arm off. That ain't going to go very well. I finally got it on. But see, because she has my heart, there ain't nothing I wouldn't do for her with my hands. And I'm telling you that once you get to know God, once you get to know His Son, once you get to know the heart of the Holy Spirit, then you'll see the work of His hand, but you won't be chasing His hands, you'll be chasing His heart. But you can't chase His heart till you know His heart. So we need an introduction to the Holy Spirit so we'll know Him. Now, there are many in the body of Christ still call the Holy Spirit it. Oh, it got me Sunday. What got you Sunday? The Holy Ghost. It got me. The Holy Spirit, He's not an it. Would you say Jesus, it got me? Would you say God, it, in reference to God, got me? You wouldn't call God it. You wouldn't call Jesus it, but people call the Holy Spirit it. And that shows me that they don't understand that the Holy Spirit, He is a person. He is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of the living God. And I'm going to prove this to you in the Word. He's not some watered down version of Jesus. And Jesus is not some watered down version of God. It's God manifest in three different persons. So, now, watch this. He said, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the Word, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, But you know him. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute, Jesus. How do I know him when you said he hadn't come yet? Come on, somebody. How am I going to know him when he hadn't even showed up yet? You just told me, Jesus, that you're sending another comforter. And then now you're telling me that I know him. How do I know him and he ain't come yet? Watch this. He says in verse 17, for even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Read the rest. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwelt with them through Jesus, but he was about to dwell in them by his spirit. That's why he's called the Holy Ghost, a disembodied spirit, the same spirit that was in Jesus. Now there, right there, the Holy Spirit is the same person of Jesus, same spirit, okay? And he says, hey, he's been with you, but he's about to be in you. Glory to God. Verse 18, now watch this, bring it on home. I will not leave you comfortless, read it. I will come to you. Read that again. I will come to you. So now Jesus is making the Holy Spirit personal. He's saying, I will come to you. Jesus, how are you going to come to us? In the form of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. That's good stuff right there. Now, let's go over to chapter 15. No, let's continue in 14. Oh, there's more to this. Watch verse 26. Watch this. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not mentioned in the Old Testament because the Holy Spirit had not come in the incarnate Messiah, Jesus Christ. But once the Holy Spirit came in the body of Jesus Christ, lived those 33 plus years, and then Jesus sent back the same spirit that had dwelt in him, you can now call that spirit a ghost because it is a spirit that once was at home in a body. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in you is the same spirit that was in Jesus. And see, the problem with us, right? Oh my goodness, I need all night long. We are in this world that's limited in its dimension by our view. You know, you go to a movie and you go see a 3D movie and you get that third dimension, or you might go to some kind of play or program that adds the fourth dimension. And so we're limited in how many dimensions that we can comprehend. And so we're not, our body won't let us see the eternal spiritual dimension. We can see it through the lens of his word. We just can't see it through the lens of our eyes. Or we'd understand that the Holy Spirit spiritually is the same spirit that existed in Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, because God's not limited to time and space. So he can be in you while he's in me. And he can be helping you out while he's helping me out. Come on, somebody. But if Jesus was in Samaria, he couldn't be in Jerusalem. And if he was in Jerusalem, he couldn't be in Samaria at the same time. But the Holy Spirit can be in Samaria, Jerusalem, Keithfield, Bossier City, all at the same time. So no wonder Jesus would say, greater works will you do because I go to my Father, because by going to the Father, he could send back the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So now watch this. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, I'm in verse 26 of John 14. He said, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Anybody there? And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That means the Holy Spirit knows what Jesus said. He knows everything that Jesus said because it was he that said it. Glory to God. It'd be like they could walk around with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit could bring back something Jesus said, and they'd say, come on, Holy Spirit, how did you know that? You wasn't here. And the Holy Spirit, if he could talk back, he'd say, yeah, I was in the person of Jesus. Are y'all seeing this? It's simple, isn't it? It really is simple. But it's going to get deep. Stay with me. All right. Now, let's drop on over now to the 15th chapter. Still setting him up for his departure. And let's go to verse 26. He said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the Word, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He said, when the Holy Spirit, he talks about me, he testifies of me, he glorifies me. And boy, if there's anything that's missing in the body of Christ today, it is that revelation that the Holy Spirit came to magnify and exalt Jesus and not you or me. He does not glorify flesh. He glorifies the Son. There are too many folk that are shining one another's bulbs instead of letting our light shine. You and I are candlesticks, but we are not the fire. You got to recognize that when the Bible speaks of light, the light bulb had not been invented. There was no electrical light bulb. Light in the Bible was fire on a candlestick. That's how you got light. You got light by fire. So fire and light in the Bible are synonymous. The one is the other. You don't have light without fire. Don't get this electric bulb out of your mind. Light. See a flame. That's light. When Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit and us being light, we're the candlestick. We are just the vehicle that the Holy Spirit has chosen to light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even the oil in which he burns from doesn't come from us. He's compared to the fire and the oil. There is nothing in us that can self-illuminate. It is all about him and our lives being surrendered, that he could use us to let his light come forward to bring illumination to the world. And what kind of illumination should it bring? Illumination to Jesus. Not self. What kind of preacher preaches a word that brings the revelation of himself? Who in the world? Paul said, we preach not ourselves, we preach Christ crucified. What kind of sermon can you imagine coming into my Pat, what? Today I'm going to tell you all about my life. What you need to know about my life for? What in the world is in a James A. McManus that could bring any breakthrough to you? This world don't need me. This world needs Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to bring forward his knowledge. And I am convinced that the reason we're limiting the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, his anointing, his power, his gifts, the reason those things are limited in so many settings is because if God allowed those things to manifest through our life, we would take the credit, and God won't let that happen. Are y'all hearing me now? You got to get to know the person before you're going to see his performance. He don't want you being a spectator. He wants you being a participator. Hallelujah. Now, so watch what he goes on to say here. He says, that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, John 15, 26, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, read it, because you have been with me from the beginning. He said, now you're going to know this Holy Spirit, this Comforter, because all that time you spent with me, you're going to know him very easily. Hallelujah. Now, if you hadn't spent any time with Jesus, how are you going to know the Holy Spirit? You say, well, how do I spend time with Jesus? You spend time with Jesus by spending time in his word. Quit separating the Holy Spirit from the ministry of the word. I'm going to show you one more thing. Go over with me to John 4. John 4. They work together. If you don't believe they work together, then you deny what Jesus said. They're in harmony one with one another. How else are you going to test the Spirit? See, 1 John 4 said, test the Spirit. Did it not? It said, test the Spirit and be sure it's of God. Jesus, again and again, said, hey, you'll know the Holy Spirit because he's the Spirit of truth. You'll know the Holy Spirit because you've been with me. What's he saying? Test. You'll know. You'll know. We put ourselves in places in submission to individuals for the sake of the Holy Spirit because we didn't know him. We've jumped through cartwheels and done all kinds of things because we wanted somebody to stand in front of us and tell us that we have the Spirit. But because we didn't know him, we had to trust somebody that was in front of us. I want you to know him. I want you to know the Holy Spirit. I want you to know the Holy Spirit. I want you to know him. I want you to know his voice, because when you get to know him, then now you've got help in this life. Now you've got a very present help in the time of trouble. You've got guidance. You've got leadership. You've got knowledge. You've got impartation. You've got power. You've got ability. You've got answers. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to see this power. This world longs for this power. It needs a move of the Spirit of God. But I am convinced we won't see this kind of move until we get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this with me in John 4. And I'm about to show you even some here that's plagued the body of Christ today. Have you ever heard the verse that if you're going to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth? You ever heard that? Okay. Now, you think about worship, that's where I'm surrendering. That's where I'm surrendering my will to God. That's what worship is. Worship is surrender. You look at Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. You thank God naturally. That's flesh, light. Lord, I thank you. I got food. I got a house. I got a job. Thank you for health. Thank you. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for this meal, Lord. Then you move from thanksgiving into praise. And praise doesn't have anything to do with what you see or feel. It's who he is. Praise you. You can be sick in your body. Lord, I praise you that you're a healer. You may not be able to thank him for perfect health because you don't feel good, but you can praise him. He's a healer. You may not be able to thank him because you got, you know, a lot of money in the bank. You may be broke, but you can praise him and he's a provider. Praise has everything to do with who God is and what he will do. So now praise is that mental capacity to grasp the knowledge of God and exalt him for who I know him to be, despite what I'm feeling in my flesh. So fleshy, thanksgiving, mental, praise. Oh, but you ain't done yet. You're only at the second level, see? Don't stop right there. I know that feels good and you want to get your praise on, but don't stop right there. There's another dimension. There's another level to go to, and that's called worship. Now, in worship, that's where now you're, that's the spirit. Thanksgiving, flesh. Praise, mind. Worship, spirit. That's where now I am in total surrender. That's that moment in a worship service, a praise service. That's that moment that you are silently speaking to God and you're asking for forgiveness and you're asking for cleansing and you're asking him to use you and you're surrendering. And that's when you're saying, Lord, your will be done. Lord Jesus, whatever you want to do with me, Jesus. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. See, that's worship. You didn't walk into church feeling that way. You walk into church like, she done took my seat again. Golly, why she had to keep taking my seat? So that's how you got to church. Then the first song kicked off and it wasn't Jeremiah leading. You're like, where's Jeremiah? I like Jeremiah. I don't know if I can get in this white boy. I don't know. I want some Jeremiah. I need some Jeremiah. So you patty cake. Yeah, okay, I ain't. Then all of a sudden you're like, well, I need to be, Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's moving, and you start thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you. How dare me? Lord, thank you. I got a church to worship in. Lord, I thank you that you even put the right mind in me for come to church. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for this and that. Next thing you know, you're getting into it now. Hallelujah. Then before you know, hands in the air, praising the Lord, exalting him. Lord Jesus, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. I mean, you're praising. And the next thing you know, man, tears coming out, broken down, surrendering. Lord, yes, I'm going to start tithing. Yes, I'm going to start ministering to other people. You know, all that stuff comes out. That's worship. Now, some of y'all forget those commitments you make in worship. You walk out the door like, Lord, I don't know if I really meant that, Jesus, but it was. So that embrace. Woo, hallelujah. That tangible connection that happens in worship. Hallelujah. Jesus said that can only be done in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Now what's truth? It's the word. So there's a harmony that happens in surrender. There's a work that goes forward that is based on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that leads you to total surrender. Are you with me here? And that's what God is seeking more than anything else, is that total surrender. And he says, hey, that comes through the form of spirit and truth. Both of them. Now watch this. John 4. You there? Say amen. Now, I'm going to drop down and show it to you, and then we'll back up and show it to you in context. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you have to, you know, that's a popular verse. But what you may have never done was backed up to see why he said it. So let's back up a little bit at a time. So let's go to verse 23. He said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Read the rest. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So notice, he don't separate the Holy Spirit from truth in worship. That's why you can't be singing stuff that don't line up with the word and call it worship. That's why I can't get up here and say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I made somebody mad one time doing that. Boy, they paid me out for you. That's a beautiful hymn. You don't understand the meaning of that hymn. That means that the Passover, pass me not, calm down, man. You don't understand Jesus. He already came and fulfilled Passover and then looked back at us and said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So how am I going to sing to him, don't leave me, when he already promised me he wouldn't? I'm telling him, I ain't heard what you said. I don't believe what you said. I said, that makes folk mad. That makes folk mad. Like climbing up the rocks, not just a mountain. No, rough side. As if climbing any mountain would not be hard enough. We've got to find the rough side. And I'll get pegged by this one. Look, Jesus said, if you see a mountain in your way, you speak to it. You don't pray and say, oh, God, give me the ability to climb up this rough side on a mountain. No, I ain't got time to be climbing. I'm not a mountain climber. God is not calling any of us to be climbing mountains. I worship, if it's going to be in harmony with the Spirit, it's got to be in harmony with truth. Do you see that even in worship, if it's going to be spiritual, it's got to be based on truth. If there is no truth, then I open myself up to be misguided by a foul spirit or a different spirit. So God is saying, line your worship up with truth. Let them work together, spirit and in truth. In worship, there isn't anything higher than worship. Prayer comes in worship. Sacrifice comes in worship. Giving your life to the mission field comes in worship. Everything that God wants to do with you comes through the avenue of worship. There's nothing more important than the worship of a believer. It's not limited to church. It's not limited to location. You can worship God in your home, driving down the road. Your worship, though, is the pinnacle of your Christian walk. And Jesus said, you can't do it without spirit and truth. Is that making sense to you? Now let's back up a little bit further. Because this woman made a statement to Jesus And I'm going to do a series on this, Lord willing, one day. So let's back up and see what's going on here and why Jesus had to bring up this whole spirit and truth stuff. All right. Verse 19. Because Jesus got through dealing with her about the man she was living with was not her husband. Which proves just because you live with somebody don't mean they're your husband. And the guy tell me that. He said, well, if we come together, then aren't we one? That's called fornication. Well, and I got the argument. This is what came back to me. The Bible says that there was a law, a letter of a divorcement, but it don't say nothing about a letter of marriage. I said, so wait a minute. You think that God would want Moses to have a letter that said you're divorced, but not one that said you were married? Now, what kind of sense does that make? People just do anything, get tricky with God, and rob themselves of a blessing. What in the world? Listen, I don't mean to be ignorant up in here, but what you do in your house and whose house, I ain't got anything to do with me. I'm not trying to mess with your life. I'm trying to deliver your life. I'm married to the woman I live with. Why, you ain't in my house. You ain't living in my upstairs room up in there shacking. So what does it matter to me? I'm only trying to give you the truth so it can make you free. So quit coming at me at all this stuff. If you don't want to get married, then that's your prerogative, Bobby Brown. But I still am obligated by God to tell you the truth. So I don't know who in here needed this because it wasn't in the message, but there it is now. Real quickly. So Jesus said, look, woman, that woman, that man you're with ain't your husband, and she knew then he was a prophet. Watch verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now watch what she does here. Because sometimes when folk bring you a word, especially a convicting word, y'all better stay with this. Some has a gold nugget here. We're about to dig it up. Oh, that's good too. Now watch it. Watch it. He said, sometimes when somebody brings you a word and it's a true word and it convicts you, there's something in us that wants to get introduce controversy. No, we got to get off that topic. So she says, I perceive thou art a prophet. Now watch what she does here. And it don't have nothing to do with the conversation. Watch what she does here in verse number 20. Watch it now. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. They're in Samaria. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, how in the world, the man you living with back at your house, how's that have anything to do with who, where are you supposed to worship? I got a reason for bringing this up. Stay with me. There was no discussion about where you ought to worship. And all of a sudden, when Jesus started just telling her all her life, she said, our fathers worship in Samaria, and your people say you ought to worship in Jerusalem. If I'm Jesus, I'm like, wait a minute, did I miss something? Stay with me. He's going to come on home. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Watch verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, you know Jesus was tough. Like, woman, I'm going to call you by your original name. Before Eve was woman, I'm taking you way back. Woman, believe me, watch it now. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So you're getting caught up about location. And this day is coming when it ain't got nothing to do with location. You're trying to make this thing about a location. I'm telling you that God ain't worried about the location. He said, the hour is coming when you won't worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Verse 22, he said, you worship, you know not what. You worship? Watch this. You worship? You know not what? He You say, you caught up in this place and you don't even know what you worship. You know the act, but you don't know the person. And you done got so caught up with the act that you've tagged the act to a place. You've tagged this act to a place and saying, if you're not at this place, it ain't worship. I didn't even bring up what place, because I'm here to tell you that worship is by spirit and by truth in any and every place. Now, how many today are plagued by this same thing? They're so caught up with the act of something, not knowing the individual of the thing, that all they want to argue is, I can't believe you left Second Baptist on Third Street. I can't believe you left. And they get so caught up with the location. Believe it or not, y'all may not believe this, but we moved down here, you know, 3 years ago. And 1,600 seats. We left a church that we would, like sardines, put 700 in. And I actually had members that would come to me and say, I miss our old location. I want to go back down. You want to go back to Egypt? Why in the world you want to go regress? I felt more homely down there. It ain't about how you feel. It's about getting folks saved. And we need to think about bigger and broader things. Quit getting so attached to an act inside a place to the point that you argue about, well, y'all worship in Jerusalem. We believe you got to worship in Samaria. Get over all that. You got to get to a place where you can worship God in the yard. Help me in here, somebody. We've got to get the Holy Spirit out of the box of a location where we once saw him. We must try and argue about acts in a location and don't even know the person that wants to operate in us everywhere in spirit and in truth. Folk mess around and turn on you because of where you worship. They have turned on you and now don't even like you. Oh, you went down. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm in his word. We're seeing 30 folks saved and baptized a month. What's wrong with you? How in the world are you getting angry about where I work? I got saved there. My mind got renewed there. I'm a different man than I used. What's wrong with you? You would rather me be in your place dead than in God's place alive. God's not limited to operate inside this building. He wants to operate outside this building. But he won't be able to operate in your individual life until you get over this whole thing about the place. This woman arguing with Jesus. He didn't bring it. And she brought that up, getting deep with Jesus. All because, now I'm going to do a series on this. I'm way out of time. But if you study the history, the Jews and Samaritans were at odds against each other, all because of the place of worship. Samaritans would have no dealings with the Jews because of the place of worship. Jerusalem had its temple, and Samaria, they had built a temple there. If you get back to the word, the Jerusalem temple was biblical. But don't tell him that. The point is, they argued over location. And they got so divided that when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they wanted him, they wanted to see if he would worship at their temple. There's a backstory to this. When they wanted to see, okay, which temple will he worship in? But Jesus had his face set like a flint to go to Jerusalem, remember? And so he didn't go to Jerusalem and worship. I mean, Samaria and worship. He didn't go to their synagogue. He didn't worship in Samaria. He went to Jerusalem. And so when he came back to Samaria, they wouldn't even let him inside the city gate. That's when he left that city, and that guy come running out of Samaria, and he said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, oh, yeah? And he's referring to Samaria. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God, man, have nowhere to lay his head. He wasn't talking about in general. He was talking about in Samaria because Jesus had places to lay his head. He had a house in John 2. He laid in that ship. He was laying on a pillow. So he had places for his head. He was referring to Samaria. They wouldn't even let him in. They would not let him in Holiday Inn Samaria. They said, Jesus, no, you ain't coming up in here. No, wrong. Why? Did he do something wrong? Was it because he wasn't the Messiah, not the prophet? No, because he worshiped in Jerusalem. And that same spirit's plaguing the body of Christ today. Well, you would judge somebody because of where they go, where they supposed to worship. But you got to get out of that. That's where I go. That's where I hear the word. Yes, I worship there, but I worship 7 days a week, all everywhere. My worship's not limited to a place. And the reason why I wanted to end this second part with that is because we've got to get the Holy Spirit out of the church building. Out of the church, out of the building. We're so honed in on him doing something right here that he's not doing what he needs to do through you out there. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up there next week. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name, Lord, of Yeshua, our Savior, the Messiah, God, we thank you that you have sent to us your Holy Spirit. He's your promise to us. And we acknowledge his presence. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. That you are the third person of the Father. That you have a purpose. We acknowledge you. Even right where you are, church, just silently in your own seat, in your own heart, acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit who's been presiding in you but wants to reside in you. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. He's been residing. He wants to preside in you. He doesn't want to just be your resident. He wants to be your president. When's the last time you acknowledged him? When's the last time you acknowledged him? Holy Spirit, give me the power to minister to this person today. Holy Spirit, give me the power to witness to my child today. Holy Spirit, give me the power to minister to my coworker today. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Have your will in me today. Holy Spirit, I can't find my keys. I know you know all things. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God's Spirit. You got to get out of that mindset. Oh, well, I don't acknowledge the Spirit. I acknowledge God. God is a Spirit. I don't believe in all that Holy Spirit stuff. I just believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us. Oh, you help our infirmities. You help our weaknesses. You give us strength mentally, physically, spiritually. We worship you. God, we worship you. We worship you. In spirit and in truth, we know, Lord, that you have a plan for us. You have a will for us. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if there's a believer here tonight or watching live that doesn't know the walk of the Spirit, the harmony, oh, hallelujah, the joy, the power, the rejuvenation, the life, the love, the surrender, the leadership, the conviction that can only come by your Spirit. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would fill us. Your word says if we ask for bread, you will not give us stone. Your word says if we ask for fish, you will not give us scorpion. We ask you tonight, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit. That he no longer just be resident in us, but that he preside in us. That his way and His will be done in us. Holy Spirit, we ask forgiveness for ignoring You, Your presence and Your power. We ask forgiveness for ignoring You. Oh, in Jesus' name, those limitations that You've known, You overcome by His Spirit. That lack of knowledge and direction is overcome by His Spirit. That inability to witness to that man on the street is overcome by the power of His Spirit. That inability to love your spouse through this separation or this hardship comes through His Spirit. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've been given power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, because greater is He that is in you. Those of you challenged by that class, challenged by that college course, you have the biologist on the inside of you. You have the author of language on the inside of you. Can't pass that medical test. The one that created the human body lives on the inside of you. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you get to know him, you can start walking every day in the confidence that he is your help. He is your source. God has not given you the spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. How? By his Spirit. Lord, I just don't know your will. I just don't know your will. I just don't know your will. The Holy Spirit knows the will of the Father. And he'll lead you in and he'll speak. He'll make crooked places straight. He'll move on men's heart to prepare the way for you. Hallelujah. See, you knew, and I'm going to close in a minute. You knew Jesus. You knew that he died for you on the cross. You knew that he paid the price for your redemption. And you knew that he was the only way to be saved and have your sins forgiven. And you knew he was the only way you'd ever go to heaven. And you accepted that because you knew what he had done. But your church today doesn't know the Spirit. They don't know the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know him, he's limited from operating in your life because you don't know him. You don't know his potential. You don't know his love. You don't know his power. We've got to get to know the Holy Spirit. Just like we know Jesus, we've got to know him. If you're here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's no way to know the Holy Spirit without Christ. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Those watching live, pray with us. I'm going to invite all of you to pray this prayer with me. And our altar ministers are going to get in position. They're the only ones that are moving right now. Please, no one else move. Let's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do here. But in a moment, I'm going to release you after this prayer. And if you need to come forward and you want one of our altar ministers to pray with you, they'll be glad to. If you want them to pray with you that you receive the fullness of God's Spirit in your life, you've been sealed. You've been sealed with the Spirit to the day of redemption. But are you walking in his fullness? You say, how hard is it, Pastor? It's not hard. How many times have I got to do it, Pastor? I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me daily. I'm not one of them ones that revert back to 72. Back in 72, I was filled with the Spirit. Yeah, but you know you wasn't filled with him in 73. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, that I may dwell in your house forever. Break the hold that tradition has placed on so many. And help me to see that worship, that true worship, comes by spirit and truth. I make a decision right now to live my life by spirit and truth in Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.